We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
It's been a very busy week, and before Pastor Micah, before you walk out of the building, Pastor Micah, before you leave, I just want to say we have incredible staff here at Faith Baptist Church, and I have some, I have some awesome staff with me. And Pastor Chad is away on vacation, and we had a scheduling conflict. Some things happened, and Pastor Chad, about 3 months ago, came in on bended knee and begged me and said, "Can I please go on vacation right after VBS?" And I said, "Okay, just this once." Immediately, Pastor Micah came in with a stick and started to chase me around the office and said, "That means I have to lead music." So Pastor Micah has done a great job this morning leading music. Thank you for covering for Chad. Now you can leave, all right? I appreciate our guys. I got a really nice text from Chad this morning. It said, "I'm praying for you guys." I said, "Buddy, you got a long way to go to dig yourself out of this hole. One text ain't going to cut it." And so they are away on vacation. Maybe you know Pastor Chad took a really bad spill on his bike last week and really hit the deck hard. And he's doing fine. I appreciate all of the care and concern for him. And he's doing well and did a great job during VBS this week. Take your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. If you do not have a Bible, there's probably one in the seat in front of you or next to you in the little rack there. You can grab one of those. A lot of the verses will be on the screen for you. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. You can also go to James chapter 3 if you want a gold star, if you're looking for extra credit this morning, all right? You can go to James chapter 3. I'm just going to reference James 3, but we're not going to spend a lot of time there. But Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 15 and 16, as you're finding your place there, let me ask you guys a question. See if you know this phrase, "Sticks and stones will break my bones." Can you finish it? Okay, names or words. Usually that statement is spoken, followed up by na-na-na-na-na, right? Somebody said something to you that you didn't like or upset you or said a phrase to you, and you quickly responded with, let's say it together, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Let me tell you what that statement is. Ready? That statement is a lie. That statement is a bold-faced lie. If you've said that, you were lying when you said it. You were trying to soothe the pain from the hurt that was inflicted on you by the words of somebody else. In fact, I have come to discover in my own life and in the lives of so many other people that words often hurt worse than a broken bone. Far worse than a broken bone. Words meaning our speech, how we talk, our communication. Take it from a guy who communicates for a living. This is what I do. Very powerful are words. Very potent is our speech. More powerful than you could possibly imagine. You say, "Well, how powerful, Pastor?" Well, don't take my word for it. Let's see what God's word says. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the what? Everybody say tongue. Tongue. Your speech. Aren't you glad God gave you two ears and one tongue? Amen. Some of us do enough damage with the one tongue that we have, right? The words that we speak, friends, the words that we hear, the words that you say, they are powerful. Don't believe the lie that it doesn't matter what you say and it doesn't matter how you say it. That's not true. Just listen to these words and think how they would impact your life. Think how they probably have impacted your life. Words like accepted, denied, pass, fail, hired, fired, I love you, I hate you, will you marry me, I want a divorce, malignant, benign. One word, one phrase can change the outlook of your life, can change how you feel. You can be going along having a perfectly decent day, and somebody can say something, somebody can say a phrase, somebody can drop a statement, somebody can say just a little word, and suddenly that one word, that one phrase completely changes your outlook. Powerful words. There was a dear friend of the family, still is. He used to always say a little phrase, and I just got ingrained in my mind, this little phrase he used to say about our speech and how powerful our speech is. And I only knew the first two lines. And so, how many of you have ever been annoyed by something? Anybody ever been annoyed? Yeah. Okay. Maybe the person next to you. I don't know. But anyway, I was like, I got to figure out where this just can't be all there is to this little phrase. And so I did some digging and I found the poem in its entirety. Here's what it says. The words we say leave scratches deep upon the surface bare. We can remove the varnish, but the markings are still there. Some things there are we cannot mend or rest to form or glow. For once the grain is scored in pain, the scars will ever show. Isn't that true, friends? The power of our speech, our communication, the words that we choose to say has great effect on the lives of people. And some of you are here today and your life, and I understand this, but your life has been hurt and ruined and ripped apart because of some words that somebody said to you. Maybe words that a parent said to you. Maybe words that a friend said or a colleague or somebody that you really trusted spoke some words and those words wounded you and you still feel the sting. And even now as I'm talking, you hear those words coming into your mind even now. How many of you are a little bit like me and sometimes you wish you could go back and retract some words you said? Anybody in here like that? Every hand up in the building on that, okay? Because if you don't put your hand up, what you're saying is every time I speak, I'm perfect. How many of you know that's not true? Amen. There have been some things I'm like, man, I really wish I hadn't said that. I wish I could go back and retract that statement. I've told you before that I wish we had the backspace or the delete key in our life. Amen. That we could just go back and do that. Listen to this little quote. It says, I am the master of my unspoken words and the slave to those which should have remained unsaid. Would you say that with me? Ready? I am the master of my unspoken words and the slave to those which should have remained unsaid. It's a terrible thing. Once it comes out, you can't put it back in, right? When you want to. As a pastor and as a counselor, I have spent countless hours, I can't even tell you, countless hours helping people overcome the harsh, critical, negative, destructive words that have hurt and hindered people's lives. Many lives sometimes having all but been destroyed because of not sticks and stones, not physical abuse, not sexual abuse, but verbal, mental abuse that somebody endured for years. What we say is of the utmost importance. Have you ever said too much? One honest man in the building said yes. Let me ask that again. Have you ever said too much? Yes. The writer of Proverbs said, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is what?
Wise.
Now that doesn't mean, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. Some of you are like, well, Pastor doesn't want us walking around talking, so we're going to walk around Faith Baptist Church like a bunch of monks. How you doing? No, that's not what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't know, pardon the expression, when to shut up. We just think we got to speak it and just got to say it. I'm just going to talk about it. I love this little poem. It's one of my favorites. It says, if all that we say in a single day, with never a word left out, were printed each night in black and white, it would make strange reading, no doubt. Then just suppose before our eyes would close, we would read the whole record through. Wouldn't we sigh and wouldn't we try a lot less talking to do? I more than half think that many a kink would be smoother in life's tangled thread if half what I say in a single day were to be left forever unsaid. Unsaid. Friends, I want us to know that God wants us today to talk. He wants us to use our speech. But there's a way in which we should use it to build up and to not tear down, to help develop and to not destroy. Words that will help and not hurt. Words that will heal and not hinder. And that's why as we go through this lesson today, this message today, the one and others, we're going to understand that the Bible commands us to edify one another. And we need to understand right out of the gate that edification is tied to communication. edification, how you use your mouth, the way, all of that, it's tied together. The two are linked. The two are linked. I want you to know that some of us have to understand that, listen to me carefully, sarcasm is not a gift. How many of you know that? People say, I don't have the gift of good communication. Well, you don't have the gift of sarcasm either. How many of you know sarcasm comes naturally to some of us? Can I just see our hands? Amen. Some of you are gifted at that, but that's not a God-given gift, okay? The word sarcasm comes to us from the Latin word meaning to tear the flesh. If we would understand sometimes what our sarcastic remarks can do, and sometimes most of you know who know me and know me well know that I'm pretty humorous. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. I love that. But here's what I've also found. Sometimes in our jesting and in our fooling, that's how we disguise things and say what we want to say and then wrap it up in humor, right? Oh, I'm just kidding. No, you're not kidding. You meant every word of that when you said that. Oh, I'm just playing. You ain't playing. You meant that. You meant to say that. Somebody say amen right now. Don't leave me hanging up here. Amen. Like, oh, I want to be funny. It isn't funny. It's not funny. Okay. So how do you edify somebody? When the Bible says edify one another, to edify someone is to build them up, to encourage them with your words, to enhance their life by your speech, to bless someone by your communication. The word edify is an architectural word. It means to build something. It carries the idea of an architect who carefully sits down and plans and constructs and then goes about building what he has planned and conceived by way of construction and design and engineering. And likewise with our mouth, this is what the text is going to teach us. We should have the same builders or architectural mentality that before I open my mouth. By the way, how many of you know that God has given you an awesome thing called a brain? And God has also given you, if you're a believer, he's given you the Holy Spirit, which is called the filter. Amen. And some of us, if we're not careful, we don't engage the brain and then we don't even engage the filter. We're not speaking words with intentionality. We're not speaking words of encouragement. We're just speaking the first thing that comes to our mind. And normally the first thing that comes to your mind isn't good. Amen? How many of you know little kids are the master of this? How many of you have heard a little kid say something and you're like, oh, my brother was sitting in a pediatric clinic with my mom and me. And he climbed up onto the chair next to my mom and he was staring at this lady. He was probably about 5 at the time. And he's looking at this woman and we said, Troy, stop staring at her. Okay. A few minutes later, he leans over to my mom, cups his hand, and in a loud whispering voice, how many of you know that kids don't understand what a loud whispering voice is? He leans over to my mother and he says, hey, Mom. Yeah, Troy. You see that lady over there? Yeah. She needs to go to Weight Watchers, huh? Not good. Not good. How many of you have ever said something like that and wish you could take it back? Amen? Amen. To edify somebody is to help them grow spiritually, to build into their life. And there are multiple passages that speak to this end. Now, here's the reality. You know, the Bible doesn't give us an option on whether we want to edify somebody or not. Did you know that? You don't get to pick and choose who you're going to edify. You don't go, ah, I'm not edifying them. I'll edify them. They're really nice. Them, not so much. No. We're commanded to edify. So turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Go ahead. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him he's talking to you. Now, here's some of you are like, I think he's talking to you more than he's talking to me. All right, Romans 14. Here we go. Ready? Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith we may what? Edify. Everybody say the word edify. Ready? Edify. Romans 15:2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to, what's the word? Edification. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and what? Edify one another, even as also you do. If you're with me in Ephesians chapter 4, would you say amen? All right, Ephesians 4:15. The Bible says, speak the truth in what? Love. Speak the truth. So much could be spoken about this text right here, how we speak and when we speak. And the reason we do it is that we may grow up into him who is the head of all things, even Christ. Verse 16. Now, Paul's going to give a body analogy, how all the body is connected. We've been talking all about the body, how we're connected. How many of you know that if you hit your thumb with a hammer, your whole world changes? Amen? If you stub your toe, you say words you didn't learn in Sunday school, right? So we understand the body is connected, and here's what it says, for whom the whole body has been joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, and it makes increase unto the body to the use of what? Edifying. Now I want you to go with me to verse 29. We're just going to, for time's sake, get over here to this verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your, what's the word?
Mouth.
But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? What's the word?
Grace
to the hearers. Grace. I want to implant into your thinking this morning the idea of using your mouth as a means of grace in the lives of other people. Using your speech to help other people, to encourage other people. I want you to think about that. Do I use my mouth as a ministry of grace to people? You see, speech is a ministry. Grace is to be given. Our words that we speak are to be life-giving words. How many of you have ever heard of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Can I see your hands? Now, I know that CPR rules and regulations have changed, but basically, mouth-to-mouth is where one person goes to another individual who, and that individual is incapacitated, and they begin to do something to that person with their mouth. What do? They breathe what? Air. In other words, they breathe, what would be another word? Life. They begin to breathe life into that person. Chest compressions, and then what do they do again? More air, because we understand we've got to get air into that individual. You are using your mouth to give life, and in the same tone and text, what we understand here today is that God wants us doing some mouth-to-mouth spiritual resuscitation to people. That we would use our mouth to speak life and hope and healing and help into the lives of other people. And if we're ever going to use our words, our speech, the way God wants us to, if we're going to be a church that is going to edify one another, we have to understand a couple of things. And here's the first one. Most people have misdiagnosed their speech problem. Most people have misdiagnosed their speech problem. Most of us know how to talk. We know how to speak our mind. We know how to communicate. No problem with that. That's not the issue. Most of us in here, thank God, praise God for this, most of us don't have a medical condition that is prohibiting us or hindering us from speaking effectively. What we do struggle with, however, is a spiritual issue. Now, if you're going to be honest in church, here's your opportunity to be honest in church, all right? Have you ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Can I see your hands? I had a couple of seniors come up to me after church, and they were talking about a bar of soap that they used to have to get put into their mouth. It was an old school soap. I can't remember the name of it right now, but Life, is that it? Yeah? Life Boy, is that it? Is that what it's called? I don't remember, but one of the brothers was telling me that his mom would make him open wide, and she'd stick it in there and let it sit in there for a little while. I mean, they had Dawn or Ivory, right? Things like that. And your mom or your dad or whoever it was, what they were doing was they were trying to teach you to clean up your mouth because you said something you shouldn't have, right? You spoke something you shouldn't have. And so out came a word or a phrase and your parents were like, oh, that's it. You're not talking that way. So in they go. Oh, we had friends. They used to put Tabasco sauce on their kid's tongue. And I don't know about all that, but one of the problems is this. The problem wasn't that your mouth needed to be washed out. The problem is that your heart needed to be cleaned up. You're attacking the wrong thing. Matthew 15 says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the what? The heart. And those are the things that defile a man. Look what comes out of our heart. Evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. These are where the issues in our life come from. We don't have a speech problem, we got a heart problem. We don't have a fornication problem, we got a heart problem. We don't have a theft problem, we have a heart problem. And this is exactly what we're trying to understand this morning. See, we're never going to edify each other until we identify that the words that we say are a window to our heart. We may be able to curb our speech, but that's not really the issue. It's what's inside that needs to be addressed. Because here's the reality, friends. Let me just let you in on a little secret. The tongue bears testament to what's in the heart. The tongue bears testament to what's... You know what a person's all about. Just listen to them talk. You can tell what they are and who they are. The heart is the storehouse for our words. And when we speak, we really reveal what's going on inside. Now, you might be able to clean up your potty mouth for a little while. How many of you have ever been at home and you're having a marital opportunity? And words are flying and the phone rings and you're like, hello. Hey, yeah, everything's great. Yeah, okay, can I call you back? Yeah, let me just finish what I was going to say. Right? You know how to do it. I used to work out in England at the gym. And there was a guy there, and he'd see me every day. And I was considerably bigger and heavier than I am now, and he used to call me Big A. That's what he called me, Big A. And I used to sign out a weight belt, and I would power lift. And this guy, let me tell you, he could cuss the wallpaper off the wall. I'm telling you. I mean, you needed a shower after you were around this guy. And he'd come, he's like, Big A, and he'd slap my hand. He's like, oh, and filth, foul, filth, and filth, foul, filth. And I was like, yep, okay. Well, one day, I came walking in there, and he was a big guy himself, about 6'4", 270, huge, big dude. And he's standing in there. He sees me come in, and he goes, hey. I said, yes. He said, I just found out you're a preacher. I said, yep, I am. He said, and you let me talk to you like that. I said, man, that's who you are. He looked at me. He said, I'm embarrassed. He said, I was raised in a Baptist church. He said, and here I was talking to you like that, using words like that. I said, how did you know I was a preacher? He said, my wife went to your church on Sunday and told me all about you. He said, I hear your daddy's a preacher too. I said, yeah. He goes, that makes it worse. You know what? He never cussed around me again. You know how to clean your potty mouth up. You know how to do that. It's not hard. You know how to be nice. Nice. You ever meet somebody and you're like, aw, and they walk away and you're like, what a jerk. Right? You know how to do that. Listen, don't. Some of you are looking way too pious right now. You have all done that. You have all looked at, oh, yeah. What were they wearing? What did they look in the mirror? I mean, what in the world, right? You know how to do that. You don't have a speech problem. And here's the deal for a lot of us. Some of us, we've been shoving down what's in our heart and trying to stop what's coming out of our mouth. And what happens is it eventually leaks out through our body language. Our nonverbal communication. We don't say anything, but we're like, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Nothing. Right? Sighing, heavy breathing, rolling our eyes, touching our face. That's your heart speaking. Oh, you know better than to open your mouth, because if you open your mouth, it's all over. Your heart is the processing center. It's the core of who you are. Your body language gives it away. And here's the problem. You listening? You listening? Listen, here's the problem. Too many of us are working on behavior modification. What we need to be working on is heart transformation. That's the issue. The issue is not behavior modification, but it's heart transformation. It's God changing us from the inside out. Yes, we know how to curb our speech, but why do I want to curb my speech? Why do I want to change how I'm talking? Why do I want to use different words? Why? Because my heart's changed. And if all we do is ever go after the behavior, we never get well. We never deal with the issue. If we want to change our speech, we were singing about it at the end of the worship time. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Because you know what I have found in my own life? I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, that the closer I get to Jesus, the better my language becomes. The more time I spend with Him, I'm just a better person to be around. You see, we have to understand that God wants us to use our speech. And we have to begin with the heart and say, Lord, cleanse what's inside. Put a guard over our mouth. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 141:3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Some of you need to pray that every morning, every afternoon, and every evening. Say amen to that. Amen. Lord, set a watch over my mouth. Put a guard before my lips. What we think about often becomes the basis of our speech. What's going on in our heart, what we're processing, suddenly that becomes the basis of our speech. And in the scriptures, the heart and the mind are often linked. That's why it said here in the text, the meditation of my heart, not the meditation of my mind. Because the heart is not only the storehouse, it's the processing center. It's what you're working through and dealing with. And what we're dwelling on or holding on or pondering on. Friends, listen, that's what affects what comes out of your mouth. So we have to understand that most of us don't really have a speech problem. Number two, the battle for purity in the mouth is fought in the heart. The battle for purity in the mouth. It's fought in the heart. This is where the battleground is. This is how I change my speech. I don't try to go to a speech therapist and say, okay, help me speak better. No. I don't, you know, come home and keep washing my mouth out every night with soap. That's not going to work. Jesus gives us great insight here in Luke chapter 6. It says, for a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of the bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is what, friends? Good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. Look carefully now. He said all of that, lay all the foundation, drives a point home. And all he says is this, for the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Whatever's in here comes out. Eventually, you can curb it, you can behavior modify it, you can, you know, marginalize it, but eventually, it's going to come out. Jesus said, what's inside, who you are, comes out through your mouth. As a counselor, years of my life, trained, learn how to listen to people. You find out everything you need to know. Just let them talk. You'll find out everything you need to know. They'll speak about it. People are dying to tell you about it. Just listen to what they say. And so when people, now let's turn the tables now, all right? Turn the tables here. So when people are hearing us talk, what are they hearing? What are they thinking? What are they saying? Okay. What indication are we giving them? People should know that we are different as Christians, as a believer. It's easy to sling around hate and sling around rudeness and sling around... That takes no effort, none. So the Gold Star folks, if you want to go to James, you can. All right, everybody wants the extra credit. The rest of you, I'm just going to hit a couple verses here because of time. Every Sunday, I feel like I got to play beat the clock. You know, it's like I'm just rushing to get done. So I don't have time to hit all of these verses, but you need to see what James says here. James speaks extensively on the tongue. How many of you know the tongue's a little member in your body? And how many of you know that thing can do some damage? And this is what James is talking about. He begins the chapter in chapter 3. He talks about how we put bits in horses' mouths, and we control the horse with the bit. That ships have rudders, and rudders control, give direction to the ship. He talks about how animals have been tamed, every beast, every creature. And then in verse 8, he says, but the tongue, look at it carefully, the tongue, tell me, who can tame the tongue? No man. No man. For it is an unruly evil, full of what? Deadly, say it, poison. Now, in verse 9, he starts talking about, therewith bless we God and curse we the Father. I mean, what is going on? In verse 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. What he's saying is this isn't right. Now, listen, we're just going to be honest in church. Can we say amen? Now, y'all told me you got soap in your mouth, so be honest with me on this point, okay? How many of you have ever said a word as a believer you shouldn't have said? Just put your hands up. All right, now tell me what it was. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that, all right? I don't want to hear your potty mouth, all right? This was a problem then. It's a problem now. What he's saying is it shouldn't be that way. there ought to be an increasing language changing in your life as a believer. Because he says, if you're still spitting out foul, putrid, rancid, contaminated water from the spring of life which Jesus put in you when you got saved, but if that pure nastiness is still, something's wrong. Something's not right. This is, if a tree is kicking out olive berries and figs and vines, I mean, you know, look at verse 12. He says here at the end of it, so can a fountain both yield salt water and fresh? I mean, he's asking the question. He's like, there's something not right here. What he's saying is this, our speech is an indication of our spiritual condition. Our speech, how we talk, it's an indication of our spiritual condition, where we're at with our walk. The text talks about fruit and water, things that give life and nourishment, a bit and a rudder, direction and control. There's several analogies happening here. You see, you ever been to a country and they tell you, don't drink the water? Have you ever been to a place like that? Have you ever had food poisoning? I have. 3 times. I've never been demon-possessed, but if that's what it's like, I'm sure that food poisoning is just as bad, all right? I can't even begin to tell you how sickly I was. I, too, drank the water when I was told not to. It was an accident. It was inadvertent. I realized later I shouldn't have drank the water, and for about 24 hours after that, I realized I shouldn't have been drinking the water. Here's the thing. The fruit, the food, the water, the life, the nourishment, those two things are to be helping people. The analogy is that our words are to give life, but if they're contaminated and our speech is rotten, we're making people sick, not spiritual. Our speech makes people sick, not spiritual. Our words don't really help anybody. They just hurt people. Our little phrases, our little things, it's not helping anybody. And this is what Jesus and James are saying. And you know, the reality, friends, is this. This is the statement we don't want to think about, but it's so true. A true believer is known by his speech. You just know. Colossians chapter 4 is a fantastic book of the Bible. Oh, by the way, we're actually going through Colossians on Wednesday night. Thought I'd throw that in there, all right? A little commercial break on Wednesday night. We're doing a Bible study. This Wednesday night will be different, but come back next Wednesday and we'll be back in Colossians. The Bible says, let your speech be always with what? Grace. Grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Grace. Now, seasoned with what? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. You guys know what salt does. You look like a really intelligent crowd. I don't need to explain to you salt, right? What does salt do? Makes things taste better, right? I mean, it gives you high blood pressure, but we're not going to talk about that, okay? You know what else salt does? It's a preserver. Here's what salt does. Salt keeps the decay away. Salt makes your words, even when you, help me out, how many of you, after you became a Christian, had to get a new vocabulary? Like 7 of you. Wow, okay. So, how many of you are still working on your new vocabulary, right? How many of you found like you couldn't complete a sentence without having to stop, okay? Now, the reality is this, as a Christian, once that happens, you're like, okay, I really shouldn't talk that way. You move to this next phase, which is, I don't want to talk like that, but I need to learn how to speak. And then you get to this third phase, which is using my words so that they help people. So that when I have to have a hard conversation, when I have to have a marital opportunity, or I have to have a teenager moment. How many of you know what a teenager moment is, right? Right? You have to have a teenager moment. You're like, okay, I need to speak truth. I need to do it in love, but I need to season what I'm about to say with salt. My words need to be graceful. And so you should ask yourself the question, are my words edible and digestible? That's the issue. This is what we're talking about. Are my words palatable to people? Or when people hear me talk, they're like, man, you just, I know what you're saying, but there's got to be a better way for you to say that. I hear what you're saying, but it's so harsh. It's so negative. It's so crass. So we can't misdiagnose the problem. We got to fight the problem. And now let's bring it home to our church today as we wrap it up this morning. Edification must be a family priority. I'm not just talking now about your home. Your home should be a place where edification reigns, where people are encouraged. I'm talking now about the church. Paul in the text in Ephesians, he's not talking about edification primarily from pulpit to pew. He's talking about edification from pew to pew, person to person, speaking to each other, using our speech in a spiritual way, more than just a means of communication, learning how to use our speech to minister grace to people. Because here's the truth. I have to tell you that it takes zero spirituality for you to listen to gossip or to spread it. It takes no spirituality for you to slander somebody, to judge somebody. You know, one gossiper said to the other, "I've already told you more than I know," right? Think about that. Listen, if you don't know something to be true, shut up. That's a great spot for an amen. Amen? You don't know. You don't have the right to immediately infer and assume and think that you... Shut up. You're starting a problem. You're starting a fire. Is that going to help? Somebody says something, you say, "Oh, hey. Do they know that you..." I don't want to hear it. Say amen to that. I don't want to hear that. Listen, don't post your drama on Facebook and leave the "who cares" comments all over the place. Amen? Nobody cares. This is how churches are destroyed. Churches aren't destroyed because of doctrine. They're destroyed because of people's mouths. They're destroyed because of rumors and things that are spread and spoken out of turn that should not be. That's why in verse 30 it says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Last week I gave you the illustration of grieving the Spirit in the sense of silencing the Spirit. And I talked to you about my parents' new car and how it has that little beeping mechanism in it. And if you start to drift, it starts saying, hey. Not like that. It has a little beep. And how the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. And some of us want to turn that off. The Holy Spirit also here in the text says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." That means to silence Him or to, here's the other word, sadden Him. And I thought this week to myself, I wonder how many times I must have made the Lord sad because of my speech. Because I wanted to say what I wanted to say. When we say things that sadden the Spirit, our speech is reflective of that, and we dishonor God. And we hurt each other. We hurt each other. As a family, as a church, we're called to edify one another. And this happens through wholesome speech and loving words. Do you know what holds relationships together in the body of Christ? Love. And love is built up through communication. You see, the currency of love is exchanged through graceful and edifying words, edifying communication. When Jesus said, "They're going to know you're my disciples," how are they going to know, Jesus, that we belong to you, that we're your guys? Hey, Faith Baptist Church, how are they going to know there's a difference in our life? How are they going to know this is a place where people belong, where God is here? How will they know? By all of the things we do, perhaps, but more so by the words we speak to each other. In our life group and in our Sunday school and in our meetings and in our share time and in our groups and in our fellowships and in our before and after churches, people listen to our conversations. They say, "Oh, wait a minute. There's something there. Something special." My wife and I go out to eat, and sometimes, it's interesting, I will look around at the tables and watch couples. And sometimes couples will sit there and look at each other, and you would think they're sitting at the table with their arch enemy. And it just, it's unbelievable. Sometimes you look at a couple and you can tell. I think to myself sometimes, I'm sorry you have to go home with him, ma'am. Can I get a witness? Amen. You're just like, man, you poor, poor lady. Sometimes you think you poor, poor man. It's not a marriage, it's a sentence. Amen. But what do people hear when they come to our church? What do our guests hear when they come and sit down and they overhear your little sidebar conversations and they watch your nonverbals? You know, every Sunday, can I share something with you guys? Thank you. Thank you. Every Sunday in my office, I will get on my knees and I will ask the Lord, and I will implore the Holy Spirit to help me communicate effectively. Because I only want to say those things that are necessary. Do you know why? Because a lot of times I want to say things that aren't necessary. I know you're shocked. Right? And so I ask the Lord, help me. Help me. And I pray that ever. I've been praying that for years on Sunday. There's three things I pray every Sunday. Courage, compassion, conviction. And as I was working through this sermon, it was as if the Lord just sort of prompted me, and I began to think about it, and I thought to myself, you know, you pray that on Sunday. Maybe you ought to be praying that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Why? Because I don't need God to control my mouth just on Sunday. I need him to control it on Monday and Tuesday. Somebody say next one. Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And guess who else needs that in their life? You do too. Because my propensity, my bent, the natural man, the old Todd, you know what? I just want to say what comes into my mind and just say it. I just let the chips fall where they may. But that's not what Jesus wants me to do. And then that doesn't present the gospel in a way that's very appealing to people. Have you ever thought about all the things Jesus could have said and he didn't? When he walked up to those guys that had that woman caught in the act of adultery, he could have said, I know what all of you are thinking. Want me to prove it? Right? He didn't. And see, here's the thing, church. Our speech lets people know that our life is under the control of someone greater than ourselves. You know what James said? No man can tame the tongue. No man. No man can tame the tongue. And that's why, in the end, you can't control your speech until you yield control of your heart to Jesus Christ. And that's what people should hear in our speech, that there's something different. The sound of edification. The sound of, hey, I appreciate you. Not flattery, not false pretenses. Hey, you're a blessing to me. I thank God for you. How can I help you? Thanks for watching my kids. Thanks for being a blessing. Thanks for being an encouragement in my life. Hey, listen, you're doing a good job. I know you're depressed. I know you're sick. I know you're in the hospital. Listen, God loves you. I'm in your corner. I'm right there. Amen? Don't give up. Words of hope. Words of healing. Words that encourage people. How can I pray for you? I prayed for you. How can I serve you? The sound of edification. One of the things I miss about living in England, there's not a lot, just being honest, but there's some things I miss. I love the old English church buildings, and I miss them. Their high arch ceilings, the beautiful architecture. These churches, all that you see on the screens now, were literally within 25 minutes of our front door. I've been to every single one of these multiple times. I can't even tell you. Many, many, many times. This one right here, hold on, guys. This one right here, if you were to go right out the back of that door, turn right and walk about a mile, is where the hospital where both of my boys were born. This is St. Edmundsbury Cathedral in Bury St. Edmunds. Took my son there last year when we went to England together. And there's just something about those structures. Let me tell you something. One of the main reasons that they are made that way is for sound. In fact, if you ever go to one of these churches and you hear the sound that is produced, and there's no speakers, there's nothing like that. The building has been designed with the stone floors and the marble finishing and all of the artwork and the architecture and the wood in the ceiling. It's all been designed so that there was no need for all of this modern technology. I'm not against it. I'm grateful for it. I think it's great. We don't build like that anymore. But here's the deal. If you ever go to one of those churches and you hear the sound that is produced, it's unlike anything modern technology can reproduce. In fact, I would say this. It's got its own sound. It's unique. And as I began to cross-reference the word edify, and I began to look at the origin of the word, I began to realize that there was another word that is parallel to that word that comes out of the same family. And it's the word echo. This was very intriguing to me because as I began to look at the word edify, and I knew that it had architectural and structural meaning, the word echo kept popping up. And so I typed in, and you can do this, you can type in echo architectural in the internet. You can type this in, you can look this up, and it'll talk to you and explain to you how these roofs were made, these pitches in the building were made with this special wood so that the sound would be redoubled. Because an echo is a sound reflected from a solid body. A sound that would be heard again and again and again. And in architectural terms, it means to redouble the sound. And I believe with all of my heart that God is wanting us to be a church that is echoing with the unique sound of edification. It'll be a sound that is so precious and pleasant and pleasing to the ears of other people. We won't need a speaker. We won't need a microphone. We won't need a head mic. Oh, it'll be a sweet sound that sounds like, hey, I love you. I appreciate you. You're a blessing to me. You're an encouragement to me. Thank you for serving Jesus. Thank you for loving the King. Thank you for being a part of my life. It'll be a sound that this world doesn't hear very often. And so I'm so thankful to be a pastor of a church that I hear that sound in our church a lot. A lot. You say, is there room for improvement? Of course. But let me tell you, it's a joy to pastor a church where I walk in and it's like, you know what? Not only do I know God's here, but God's people are here. And I want to implore you and encourage you and ask you, keep making the sound of edification ring throughout the body life of Faith Baptist Church. You see, our lives and church should be echoing the sound of edification. Our lives as individuals, and then as a church, the unique sound that's unreproducible that can only come from a heart that is filled with a love for Jesus. Amen, church. Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.